up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My special thanks to Ai-Jen Jun, who joined me last segment for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We were talking about the care economy and the care that we will either provide now or later, or the care that we will either need now or later. And while that wasn't directly about healthcare per se or medical insurance, boy, it sure relates, doesn't it? And that's why my next guest, so important to discuss this topic, frankly, and I would call it one of the most important recent reports and analyses conducted by the Wisconsin Policy Forum on the savings to Wisconsin taxpayers that could occur if Wisconsin expanded Medicare eligibility. We call it Badger Care Plus here in Wisconsin, if the eligibility for that was expanded. Joining me now is the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, Jason Stein. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Jason.
Thank you, Maggie. Good to be with you.
And excuse me, I misspoke a moment again. Medicaid eligibility is what we're talking about. Again, Badger Care here in the state of Wisconsin, as it's colloquially known. Give us the high level, Jason. What are we actually talking about? What's the, quote, expanded eligibility? Why would there be such enormous savings?
Right. So in Wisconsin right now, Badger Care covers adults who are not pregnant up to 100% of the federal poverty level. And no other of the other states that have not expanded Medicaid, particularly for adults without dependent children, without children at home, none of the other states covers any of those adults. So Wisconsin has already done quite a bit to expand Medicaid, but we've not gone up to 138% of the federal poverty level. So the difference for an individual would be, right now we cover under Medicaid, Badger Care, up to $15,000 a year of income. If we went up to a little under $21,000, we would fully expand the program, and we'd be eligible for additional matching dollars from the federal government. Right now, childless adults alone, there's about 190,000 individuals in Wisconsin that are being covered at a higher cost rate to state taxpayers because we have not fully expanded the program.
And just a reminder to everybody, the federal poverty level for an individual is about $15,000. So when Jason says the Medicaid expansion to cover nearly 140% of the federal poverty level, we're not talking about folks making a ton of money here. We're talking about folks making very, very little money. As you were explaining, Jason, Wisconsin doesn't have what is often referred to as this coverage gap in the other nine states that have not expanded Medicaid eligibility. They do not provide Medicaid, for folks up to 100% of the federal poverty level. So you have these people that exist in this gap. They can't acquire health insurance, public health insurance, and they're yet very, very low income. So again, just to distinguish from those other nine states, and listen, I'll say this, this is not Jason's opinion, it's mine. Folks, those other states are not really states that I'd like to be taking public policy guidance from. It's some of the states with extraordinarily high poverty levels. It's not a great look. And we've expanded it again to get to nearly 140% of the federal poverty level, Jason, as you mentioned. So why, and we're going to save Wisconsin taxpayers $1.7 billion. Why in heaven's name haven't we done this before? This has been around for a while, has it not?
It has been. You know, in Wisconsin, there's not a ballot measure. So citizen-led ballot initiative. So you really have to run things through the legislature. And there hasn't been a buy-in from the legislature for this proposal. Again, in Wisconsin, we're on really different footing from these other nine states, which are mostly in the South. In Wisconsin, our uninsured rate is 4.9%. That's 3 percentage points lower than the national rate of 7.9%. All these other non-expansion states are above the national average in terms of their uninsured rate. And one reason we're lower, again, is we have put this funding of state taxpayers into expanding the program. The only problem with that is, you know, the additional cost that comes with it. So in looking at the issue, the policy forum put forward a range of options from doing nothing up to fully expanding the program that elected officials at the state level could look at.
Why is it that state government hasn't done this, at least according to Kirsten Johnson, the secretary designee of the Department of Health Services? Already, the state has spent $2.4 billion in its state taxpayer dollars that it could have received from the federal government and right. saved our state a huge chunk of money that, you know, we could maybe pay for to help pay childcare for or something else. What's the hang up in the state legislature? I don't get it.
Well, it's true that over the next 2 years, the estimates are the state would save $1.7 billion for state taxpayers if we expanded the program. Some of the arguments that have been made have included the fact that Medicaid does reimburse less than private pay insurers. There would be some federal tax credits that people receive who are currently part of the Affordable Care Act exchanges. These are people between 100 and 138% of the federal poverty level. So there would be some offsetting loss of federal aid to the state if you expand it, although, again, there'd still be a substantial net benefit. I think, you know, one reason why the healthcare providers may have some hesitance about this is being uncertain how the money would be used. So if we do expand the program, gain those savings, are we going to use it to try and boost Medicaid reimbursement rates? Are we going to use it to lower taxes? Are we going to pour it into education or childcare or some other priority, as you say? And so that's another reason why perhaps some providers in Wisconsin have not gotten wholeheartedly behind it in the way that they may have in some other states. Again, also in Wisconsin, you're not going to get the same decrease in the uninsured rate that you would in other places because we've already done a lot of the work that has yet to happen in places like Texas or South Carolina.
Right. So if I can break this down, I've heard a couple of things. Basically, and again, this is my sort of pejorative opinion or simplification, if you will, Jason. Healthcare providers aren't sure they're going to make as much money. So they're not fully supportive of this, even though it would add 90,000 more people would be insured and thus receive preventative care and be consumers of medical care. Secondly, we already have a very low uninsured rate, so we don't need to do any more. Pardon me for saying this, but isn't a tax dollar savings, even with some of the federal offsets, again, it's a huge net plus in the billion plus to Wisconsin taxpayers. Why do Wisconsin taxpayers need to care about whether or not health providers are making maximum profits? We all know, I mean, anybody that's gotten a bill from your insurance or heaven forbid you're uninsured from a medical provider, seems they just make the prices up anyways. From a pure taxpayer perspective, I don't know why in a state where we hear a lot of talk about respecting taxpayers and lowering taxes, why this hasn't been a gimme. Yes, we've got a low uninsured rate, but why is it not a better thing to insure more people, 90,000 Wisconsinites, for a lower Wisconsin taxpayer cost?
Well, it's true that 40 of the 50 states have gone this route. So most states have done this. And it's also true that the estimates are that 70 to 90,000 individuals would enroll in Medicaid if you expanded the program. Now, most of those would not be gaining coverage for the first time. They would probably be moving coverage that would be better and more generous for them. And then there would be something on the order of 20 or 25,000 individuals who are uninsured that would gain coverage. So, you know, that's what it would do on the, you know, state resident side. On the provider side, you know, on the one hand, many state officials would probably look to state government and state government's bottom line first. You know, we have seen some communities like Eau Claire where they have had healthcare provider shutdowns where, you know, in particularly in more rural areas of the state, you may have some stressed healthcare providers where it really matters what their bottom line is in terms of ensuring a continuity of care. At the same time, you have to look not just at the Medicaid reimbursement rate, but also how many people are covered, how many uninsured people are coming into the emergency room, because there's also a charity care concern that hospitals have for, you know, provide healthcare services that they're giving out to people who don't have any coverage at all and are essentially leaving them with the bill. So there's a lot to balance here, but there's also in Wisconsin the ability to use these savings to address some of the trade-offs in a way that if you are in Texas, there's just going to be an increase in state Medicaid spending if you expand the program, and you're not necessarily going to have money left over to address some of the trade-offs that might come with it.
Yeah, understood. You know, it's interesting because I've heard these discussions from healthcare providers. Certainly, I think the continuity of care is something that would merit, you know, some deep analysis, especially to make sure that all of our rural folks, all of our rural friends and family and neighbors, that they have that continuity of care. Again, that needs some specificity. I really don't like to take the word of for-profit organizations when they're telling me those things. Sure. And you know, when we talk about charity care and some of the write-offs, again, many of these hospitals are 501c3 and do not pay taxes, and thus the charity care is built into their business model in order to maintain their tax exempt status. So of course, very interesting here. I'll just say this, Jason, and again, not your words. We're talking to Jason Stein, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. They just released a brand new report about Wisconsin taxpayer savings of north of $1.7 billion estimated if eligibility for Medicaid called Badger Care here in Wisconsin was expanded. There's obviously a bit of a partisan tinge here, is there not as well, Jason?
Sure. I mean, you know, most of the states that have not expanded the program to this point are red states. Wisconsin would probably be, you know, the more blue or purple of those remaining states. And there has been, you know, a partisan approach to this in the legislature where Democrats have supported it, Republicans have not. You know, we've been working on this project for, we really started discussions about it a year ago, so we're in no way rolling it out because of the elections. But, you know, there may be some shift in the composition of the legislature, and that may have some impact. You know, another thing that may have impact, you know, in the coming years is the federal government did a couple years back sweeten the pot in terms of providing, you know, quite a bit more additional one-time funds for states that expanded. And you're seeing the fact that more states have done it nationally. So all of those things may factor in next session as the legislature debates it. I think it's sort of a still probably a long-term issue for the state, but one I think that there's a healthy discussion and a productive discussion that could potentially be had to address a lot of the challenges that we as a state have over the next few years, particularly in the healthcare area.
Thanks so much. That's Jason Stein, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason, where can they find your new report?
It's at WIS, as in the first three letters of Wisconsin, policyforum.org. It's there for free for anybody who wants to go and check it out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jason. Folks, we'll be back with my closing thoughts on this very issue after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.